many remember any of that last week? Okay, three of you. I'll try to do better this week. Romans chapter 8. How many knows that once you get saved, your spirit is made right, but your mind needs to be renewed? I mean, see that as a reality. We still have some old thinking from our own carnal nature still around too. Now, when Jeff brought up that story of the woman at the issue of blood, she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. I mean, I think that took a little effort. But notice that when she had that point of contact with the king, she knew that something was going to happen if I just touched the Lord. I really believe that we need to have that when we come to service. That when we gather together, I'm going to meet with God. God's going to meet with me. Are you with me? It's just not an assembly that we have. We come in, we go out, it's great, we put in our time. No, it's a time to encounter the King. So even mentally, you're prepared. I really believe this, that was within her heart. She was agreeing with the Word. I got to touch Him, nothing's going to stop me. And I know when I reach out to Him, something's going to happen. How many want that to happen? Amen. I'm also in that area. So there's preparation when it comes to those things. I really believe that our mind needs to be renewed in the Word of God. Because whatever I mind, I really follow. If I'm carnal, and it's possible, and it's really so opposite, it's hard to be a carnal Christian. You're saved, you got the Spirit of God, but yet you still think carnally when it concerns the things of God. Our mind has to be renewed to match the Spirit that we have within us. Otherwise, you'll get into strange lands. You'll believe some weird things. Are you with me? If you don't have this as a rule book, you'll get way out there. I said you'll get way out there. In Romans chapter 8, starting with verse 5, there's the flesh versus the spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit they set their mind on. To be carnally minded is what? What does the Scripture say? To be carnally minded is death. Now, God didn't mince any words here. He said, listen, if you're going to stay carnal in your nature and your thinking, there's no life in that. This morning early in prayer, I said, Lord, what do you want to do today in service? He says, I want to speak life to my people. How many want that life in every area, from head to toe? That's what the Lord wants to do this morning, is speak life to us. We all need some help. And if you lived a while, how many knows this body sometimes breaks down a little bit here and there? How many realize you're still in a tent? Amen. One day you'll have a building where it'll never decay. But if you've ever seen a tent gets older, true? It stretches out here and there. Oh, say amen. Sometimes you get a few patches here and there. And dare I say, sometimes it leaks. You need a new coating. Amen? Well, one day you're going to get a building that will never decay. It says this, but to be carnally minded is, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Notice that when you're spiritually minded, when that spirit nature is living forth, it's life and peace. I believe that the Word of God is full of power and life. That my mind needs to be renewed to those things. Can you imagine having the mind of Christ while you're on the planet here? Don't tell me that won't be a benefit to anyone and everyone. Having the mind of Christ with that Spirit of God here. Well, if my carnal nature is there, you know what? I need to deal with that. Then I need to crucify that nature and let the nature of Christ live through. You know, God jammed up all the words we needed in one book. Isn't that amazing? That everything you needed on this lifetime, I wrote it down for you. I've given you biblical examples to follow, mistakes as well as triumphs, that we can learn from those records that are there and grow in grace. But if we don't take the Word and put it in us, you know what? It just sits on the shelf. It's kind of quiet today. We have to start looking in those areas and say, God, I want this to be within me. Look at this here. Verse 7. For the carnal mind is an enemy against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither can it be. So then those that are in the flesh cannot please God. So So when it comes to these areas, when somebody said, well, I'm going to live my own way, your way will not please the Lord. No matter how great you think you are, you have to please the Lord in the Spirit, because He is a Spirit. And they that serve Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, here's what happens. Sometimes a stronghold will form an opinion. An area will say, nope, I'm not changing, like it or not. And we can put our emotions into that. And you know what? The Holy Spirit will tap on that, say, hey, come on, we need to change, we need to change. But if you don't want, He doesn't overpower you. Your will is powerful. God's given you a will. You can serve Him with it or not. He'll never force anyone to accept Jesus Christ as Savior. He'll never force anyone to make heaven their home. It is a total choice. But I've learned that when the Word goes in us and it finds lodging place, it starts to dispel all those myths, all those goofy things. Amen? My wife and I went to this sale. What do you call it? Yesterday. Estate sale. All right? The company comes into a home, sells your stuff. Well, they had several people. It was a multiple floor house. And I got down to the basement. There was two people walking. As soon as I walked down the stairs, they were talking about aliens. And then the lady that was working it says, you know what? I look at aliens like a higher power. And I kind of went, whatever, all right? But see, that's the norm. Are you with me? This guy believes in aliens, and this one believes in some higher power. I only know one higher power, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And every other power will be subject to Him. He says this, I will bring every power down. I'm the power. Are you with me? How many of us said He is the King of Kings? Now here's the truth. Jesus said, I created you in my image. Nothing else, you. Oh, are you hearing a word here? Jesus died once and for all for people. Say amen. Amen. Now, if you're having some demonic activity and you're seeing something you shouldn't, maybe you need to spend a little more time with the King. Oh, man. Amen. And just don't look to your horoscope. Look to the one who created the stars. Oh, man, we want to kick over every rock this morning. Notice this, you need to set your affections. When you're minding sin, listen, you're carnal in nature. It doesn't obey the laws of God. Your carnal nature will continue to rebel against the things of God. And if you think your carnal nature one day is just going to submit and go, okay, my carnal nature is just going to submit to God, no problem. No, it's an enemy of God. The only time you get holy is when the Holy Ghost is in you. And the only time you beat sin is when you let the nature of God live out instead of your carnal nature. That's why when people say, well, I'm just going to make a New Year's resolution, the rest of this year I'm never going to sin again. You'll sin another day. We have no power in the flesh. It's not subject to the laws of God. No wonder Jesus had to give of His life. Do you realize the payment it took to get us right with God? It was no just the blood of bulls and goats. It was the precious blood of Christ. He had to breathe His last. He had to be tormented in the natural flesh to get us right with God. You think we're going to beat it in our own little selves? Say amen. How many knows that we need to walk in the Spirit? And if we try to perfect it in the flesh, most of the time in Scripture, when God has something against the church, is they start off in the Spirit and try to perfect it in the flesh. In this church, I'm going to tell you and remind you again, God will do nothing in the flesh to accomplish a spiritual goal. If we don't keep it in the Spirit, He's not going to do it. 100% here. So there are sometimes these areas where it may take a little longer to get some things done, but it's done in the Spirit. Are you with me? I know places that can throw more money at it doesn't mean there's more Holy Ghost in it. Oh. We have to be in the Spirit in these things. We have to say, Lord, I want my mind to be renewed because the battleground is in here. Last week I mentioned Satan attacks in our thinking aspect. Our mind, our will, and our emotions. Now, me and Zoe and Jeff had this conversation earlier. I mean, I said, if you get your emotions going in an area, you can kind of follow that. And sometimes it'll go against logic. You know you shouldn't do that, but you still do it. How many of you ever got angry at something that hasn't happened yet? Let me see your hand. You got it, but it didn't happen. Look at all the time we wasted. How much time have we wasted thinking and worrying about things that we can't change? Didn't Jesus say, you can't even add even a moment to your life by worrying? True? When you worry, you get old a whole lot faster. In Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This should be the statement of Christianity 101. I believe this needs to be taught for every believer that gets saved. How do you love God? With all your heart, soul, and mind. With everything you got. This is the first command and great. The second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. When Satan attacks us in our thinking part, he's trying to go after those precious thoughts. Amen? If you can get your mind off of Christ, how many of us there's peace in God? There's comfort there. How many ever thought about the Lord had a great day? How many ever just thanked Him for all that He's done? Isn't that a great, peaceful day? I don't have a problem with somebody walking out in nature and saying, you know, I feel close to the Lord. I don't have a problem with that. Now, don't hug the trees and worship them. Worship the creator of the trees. But I don't have a problem with people getting away with God saying, hey, I just want to get alone with the King. I don't have any problem with that at all. But it's who you seek. It's whom you're going after. When it comes to Satan, if you take notes, he tries to weary your faith. In Hebrews 12, verse 3, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. Now, the enemy wants to get you discouraged. When you're discouraged, you have a lot of thoughts on your mind. Because it seems like your mind races and you're dealing with this and you're worrying about this. You can't put out every fire, but let the Holy Ghost be your extinguisher. That's good preaching. Sometimes it's like you can get fired up. How many of you just got fired up over something? I do that when it comes to car repairs. It's hard to find somebody honest to work on your vehicle. All right? Then the next part is the medical profession. I can get in the flesh real quick in that arena too. Well, you're all perfect in here. There are sometimes you got to consider Jesus, what he went through, lest I become weary and discouraged in my soul. Satan will always try to attack your faith because that's the most precious thing you have, your relationship with your God. Now, if I can try to get you off track, get you thinking weird, you become ineffective. But when you're solid in your thinking, you know what? You can march. You can go. Many times the battle is here. You know what? Most people that play any sports and that, when their body gets through their routines, the muscle memory is there. Then the mental strain becomes part of it. If you can continue that strength in your mind as well as in your body, you usually will win. Isn't it amazing that God had much on the mind before everybody else? This isn't mind over matter. This is having the mind of Christ in you. Many times the enemy will come to defile our minds and conscience more than ever. In Titus 1 verse 15, to the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. Even their mind and their conscience have been defiled. Now, Satan wants to take that which is pure and wreck it. More than ever, look at our children. Look what they're bombarded with more than we ever had as kids. Amen? I still remember the Bugs Bunny Roadrunner Hour. Anybody remember Bugs Bunny? All right? That's the first time I ever saw the word Acme. All right? Wile E. Coyote bought everything from Acme. He'd sign up. He had the postage down. It would get mailed to him. He's the only worst person that could fall off a cliff and have a rock fall on him, look like an accordion, and then the next episode, he's totally fine. He's the only one that could get a rocket pack strapped to him, fly into a cliff, and the next episode, he's fine. He had many lives. Oh, anybody remember those things, or am I just talking to me? All right? He had a lot of different lives. Well, you know what? He always tried to catch the roadrunner. All right? Well, that was his mission. You know what? Many times people have a mission, but what is it? What is your goal? What are you seeking after? What are you trying to obtain in this life? I'm not talking about your seed source. Is our goal to know our God or not? It should be. We have a limited time here to surrender our life and walk in His ways. It should be our goal to know Him. You set that off. But if my mind and my conscience are defiled, you know what? I'm not thinking thoughts that are right. More than ever, the enemy's trying to bombard your thoughts and your hearts everywhere. Every thought continually evil. Come on. I love it when children are still kids. And they're not looking to go 16 layers deep in an area. You ask them how they feel, this is how they feel. You ask them what they think, this is what they think. Amen? You know, a kid may call you grumpy sometimes because maybe you are. Oh, come on. How many of us it matters? We need to be the example. More than ever, we need to keep our conscience clear. We can lay down our head and say, Lord, I'm keeping my heart right. It's great. This should be a protected unit. That my gates, my eyes and my ears are protecting this arena. Amen? When that woman went after Jesus at the issue of blood, she was not going to be deferred, changed, moved. I'm getting there. What if the enemy made it hard for you to get up and come Sunday morning? So you know what? You're not going today. How many say I'm still going? How many are like, you had that resolve? I know that's within us. There are times I really feel that we're so guarded and protected by everything that we don't step out in areas because that's too hard. Yet some of our brothers and sisters around this planet, if they found to go to church, they may be their last time they get to go. Say amen. They're still brothers and sisters. The enemies continue to defile minds. He wants to corrupt that which is pure. In 1 Timothy 6:5, it says this, men of corrupt minds, destitute of truth, who support that godliness is great gain. Some people say, hey, if you have a bunch of stuff, this shows how holy you are. I mean, that's not the reality at all. Well, they're destitute of the truth, and that's usually what happens. The enemy always tries to take a little bit of what's pure and then make it stretch it till it's defiled. He takes 99% truth and mixes 1% of something that's evil. Amen? Now, this may seem gross, but if you're cooking something, how many of you want the right ingredients there? Yes or no? Well, what if you made a cake and you said, you know what? On the last part, I just threw some bugs in there, just a mix in top of that. Put that a little bit in the frosting. It'll be okay. Just come on, just eat it. How many of you be thinking about the worms and the bugs in it? No, you want that which is pure in there. It's not a mixture. We have to look at it and say, you know what? It's the pure Word of God. I really believe this with all my heart. The more the Word is preached, the more things are going to happen that's right. When it comes to Satan, he always wars against our mind. In Romans 7, verse 23, I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity. We have to look and say, you know what? That sin nature is still there. I need to crucify that and walk in the Spirit. Well, you get up in the morning, your flesh may not feel like coming to service. I'm here to tell you. Oh, yeah, I know. That bed feels so good. How many of you have been in the bed? It's nice and warm. Oh, yes. You know it's chilly out there. You got it all tucked up, whatever your tucked up thing is, whether it's a cocoon or 90 blankets, whatever it is. And you do not feel like getting up. Has anybody ever been there? How many ever talked yourself into staying in the bed longer? Oh, it didn't take much, did it? Well, you know what? This body has to come. No. Today's the day of the Lord. I will rejoice and be glad at it. I don't have to go to church. I get to go. I get to worship with people. How many of those, that's changing your heart and your mind. You know, I don't want to miss because I'm going to miss out. Generally, the service that you really need to go to is the one you miss. And when you finally get there, you can say, I'm glad I went. Well, it's good today. I'm glad you're here. This is a great time. Our lifestyle should not reject the Lord, but welcome Him. So should our thinking also. Amen? I want the thoughts to be in here pure. That way I can recognize when an evil thought starts to slither in my mind. I can reject that area. Before we were saved, we thought about everything else and didn't even think about the things of God. But now it's different. Amen? And if you think about it, here's a hard statement, but I'm going to make it. Satan's goal is make people feel like they're their own gods. You can save yourself. You can do your own thing. I'm higher minded than this. Da, 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 da. To trust in your own self. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 4, he said, this is going to be the last days. Traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Do you see this happening today? Well, here's Satan's goal. You don't need Jesus. You're your own Savior. Be your own God. Serve yourself. Do your own thing. If he can ingrain that in a society, they've forgotten about the King. And here's a true fact. I've been saved long enough to know this for reality. People will start to believe everything when you don't want to retain God in your knowledge. When you don't want God at all, you'll retain some stuff that's way out there. And the truth is that one day you'll come back to the reality that you missed it. To know the truth sets you free. Is this good this morning? How about this? Save yourself. Do your own thing. Just like when they built the Tower of Babel. They erected a structure up into heavens. And God said, well, this seemed like whatever they're putting their hands to do, they're succeeding. I'm going to come down and confuse their language. We're getting that way again, true. All our advancements. And if we're doing that with a darkened heart and mind, can you imagine what we're going to be like in eternity without sin? It's going to be unbelievable. I want to be able to know everybody's name in heaven. That's a goal of mine. I don't know how many people are there. I don't know how many billions upon billions. I don't know, trillions. I have no idea. But I want to know everybody's name. And I'll have a forever to learn it. Say amen. Lord, give me that expanse. And it seems to me that Adam was pretty brilliant when God could sit with them and bring things by. What do you want to call that? And I wonder how many things are already extinct that none of us even knew existed. Because you've already seen that the reptiles they're trying to make, all the Tyrannosaurus Rex, they don't have a picture of that. A lot of that's put together. I'm serious. A lot of that's put together. Only very few have they found totally intact. What was this planet like before sin? What was the oxygen content back then with no pollution? Was it possible to have such oxygen content that you could run and your body could absorb so much oxygen that you could run and not be weary, walk and not faint? If you could process air enough, you could keep going. God's got a desire and a great plan for us. Amen? All of us in here, Satan tries to blind minds. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, lest they don't believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine on them, which is the image of God. As a Christian, we need to pray that people's eyes are opened, their minds are understanding of what God has. That's part of the warfare that we have to do. Like all of us, when your eyes were open and you realized, you went, man, oh, whole world opened up. True? How many realized the whole world opened up? You're so glad you didn't die in sin. But that same reality is in others. Think about all the people. How many books have you read? How many shows have you seen? How much music have you heard? There are libraries in there. And what you've spoken out of your own mouth, by your words you'll be justified and by your words you'll be condemned. Thank God that you get it right. But the world needs Jesus, amen? Ephesians 4:18 says their understanding is darkened. Now, if the enemy comes, he's going to challenge authority and he's also going to challenge the very word of God. Notice what Satan takes on. I'm not looking so much what Satan agrees to. It's what he takes on. And he always challenges the word of God. Why don't you turn to Matthew chapter 4. I got a few more minutes. Matthew chapter 4. If you need a Bible, there's probably a red one book in front of you. Tell me when you got it. It says in verse 4, Matthew 4, 4, but he answered, said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up to the holy city, set him on the pinnacle, the top of the temple, and said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you in their hands, lest you bear against the stone. Now that is an actual word of God, but the context is wrong. It's tempting the Lord your God. It's like this, go get on top of the roof, right there at the highest point, and just dive off. Hey, the angels will catch you and bring you down, lest you bear. How many knows that you're tempting the Lord your God? That's why as a Christian, you don't jump out of an airplane without a parachute. Lord, if you're Lord, you'll catch me on the way down. He'll catch you after you splat. He didn't tell you to do that. Notice that Satan was telling Jesus what the word was. And telling him what his angels and what the Father was going to do. I mean, you don't need the word of God from the enemy. Oh, hear this. You don't need Satan preaching to you. He said, no, that didn't come from my Father. I know that scripture. It is written. It's not written by you or spoken by you. Amen. I'm not going to tempt the Lord my God. Look at verse 7. And Jesus said, it is written. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Notice Jesus didn't add 18 million sentences to it. He said, nope, you shall not. You have to deal with the enemy direct and don't add a lot of words to it. Speak it. Go in the name of Jesus. Satan, you're a liar. Go in Jesus' name. How many of that's enough? Your conversations with Satan are not going to benefit your Christian walk. See? Amen? You don't need to hear many voices. You only need to hear one voice, the voice of the Holy Spirit. Again, notice he takes him to an exceeding high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said unto him, all these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me. Now, this is a true statement. Adam surrendered the kingdom to the enemy by falling. Now, how many in here, be totally honest, I'll give you $1 billion. You can be a world ruler. On this life, everything you ever need can be yours. All you have to do is just bow down and just worship me for a little time. Notice Jesus didn't say he didn't show him. He showed him all that. Every person in the flesh would have compromised by now. You'd have gave up your soul to have that type of power, authority, prestige. Oh, I'm preaching now. And Jesus said, away with you, Satan. It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and only shall you serve. Then the devil left him and angels came and ministered. Notice, away with you, Satan. For the first time in the history of mankind, somebody could withstand the enemy's temptation and not give in. He was the first. He was the first to conquer by it is written. We're not going to beat it any other way by it is written. For the first time, Satan had to leave. He couldn't find anything to tempt mankind with. That fleshly nature did not yield, and he trusted his Father. And he pulled out the big guns. He pulled out the world guns. He pulled out everything that man desires after, every fleshly appetite. And Jesus said, no, it's written. Isn't that so cool? Jesus knows how to deal with temptation. We fell a long time before this. Would you all agree? So when we don't know, oh Lord, you don't know how I feel. I know how you feel to the greatest degree. And since I overcame, I'll help you. You renew that mind in my word. You stand firm. And you know what? You'll recognize the traps of the enemy. Amen? And notice this. I love this. Verse 11. And the devil left him. I love that. He left him. And then angels came and ministered unto him. The temptation was jump off the building and angels will help you. No, that's tempting the Lord your God. Resisting sin, God says, I'll give you help. Oh, you hearing this? Even the divine encounter of angelic host will come and minister as you overcome sin and shame. Isn't that awesome? I wonder how many angels are like, man, I'd love to be dispatched, but God's kingdom is so weak, no one even stands up anymore. There's nothing for them to do. Oh, is that too hard or too straight up? See, God has a kingdom. And I really believe this, that every angel wants to be dispatched on our account. Because he knows that he gave his life for us. They long to look into the blood. They've never been redeemed. We have a song they do not have. So there's great respect in the kingdom of God when people turn to the Lord. Your hierarchy there is unbelievable. You become a son and daughter of the Most High God. Every angel in the world would want to come and help in that situation. Amen? Well, what if Jesus was carnal? Well, that sounds like a good idea. You know what? It does say that in Scripture. I'll just do a swan dive off the roof. I'll just go out and play in traffic. The Lord will make every car move around me. Can you see how foolish that can get? And how many people have lost their life because they stepped out in the flesh and God didn't say to do that? Mind of Christ. And believe me, sometimes a weird thought may go through your mind. Battle it out. No, I'm not thinking that. No! In the name of Jesus, you've given me strength and victory over those areas. We all have to do it and we're all going to face it. Satan will try to get you to question God's authority as he did in Genesis 3. Don't question God's authority. It's written. Trust in that authority. Amen? I knew a saint. This brother had a worldwide ministry. And man, he was leading many to Christ by the thousands. And then Satan put something in his heart like hell isn't real and God's going to have nobody go there. And it ruined his ministry. Just like that. It ruined it. Because it went against the word of God. Hell is still a real place. Notice one doctrinal stance crashed it. Because now he's living his whole life that you can do whatever you want and still end up in heaven. That's not Scripture. It's not Scripture. It says repent and believe. Satan always tries to bring fear to paralyze your thinking. In Daniel chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar spoke to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He tried to paralyze them. If you don't bow down and worship, man, you're going in the furnace. All these attacks the enemy comes. There has to be great resolve in our heart to say, I'm going to live for him. Amen? Amen. I got to close here. Are you enjoying this morning? This battleground is real. And you're going to take it with you today. Now, I don't need to hear all the different stories, but there's a lot of times that we believe something that, man, that's just not the truth. No, here's the truth. It sets me free.